Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. I received an advertisement email last week announcing a new Christian movie entitled The Trump Prophecy. The synopsis? The Trump Prophecy is a Christian drama film. It tells the true story of Mark Taylor, a retired firefighter who believes that in April of 2011, God told him that Donald Trump would one day become president of the United States. The movie also portrays how Taylor's words help inspire a prayer movement during the 2016 election. Now, movies such as these are not my cup of tea. I usually ignore such emails. Not that I'm a never-Trumper, but I'm not a big fan of the prophecy and wonders Christian scene. And I'm not a real big fan of the Christian camp that goes beyond just supporting Donald Trump. They idolize him. One blogger wrote about Mark Taylor and the new movie. Mark Taylor was on the Sid Roth show last week, and Sid and his crowd were eating the message up, cheering as though they were hearing a message from Moses himself. The message is that you don't need to fear. America is returning to its great years ahead. So, given the fact that this movie represents part of the Christian community, I decided to drag myself out to the theater to see this movie. Now, I don't want to insult any Christian, but I am not a big fan of hokey Christian movies. The acting is usually poor, the dialogue is poor, and the message is usually less than biblical. Some are good, but that's not the majority. The same is really true for secular movies. Very few movies are good. Now, one might wonder, with Christ and talent from God, why Christians can't make the best movies. Well, I've always attributed to Paul's counsel in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. There are not many talented movie makers in the Christian community. The gifted in this world have little need for God. So Christians are often not the rich and the talented and the beautiful in this world. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Then on top of this, there is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be who find it. The Christian community is just too small to support its own Hollywood movie industry. Just like many small European countries have no movie industry. But to the credit of the Christian community, overall Christians have done extraordinarily well in movie making, given all of our liabilities. Now, this movie, The Trump Prophecy, was put out by the students and faculty at Liberty University. It was probably a project for the School of Cinema. And although Liberty University is not in the charismatic prophecy, signs, and wonders branch of Christianity, the president, Jerry Falwell Jr., is an ardent Trump supporter. So, the movie starts off with Mark Taylor retiring early from the fire department because he has PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And like your typical Hollywood movie, the main character has demons in his past that haunt him. In Taylor's case, it was seeing the death of a young boy in a fire. And I hope you realize this about movies. The heroes in every movie, the protagonists, usually have demons in the past that trouble them. And the plot is all about how the main character grows to overcome those obstacles. In most movies, this is so predictable and melodramatic, it's almost ridiculous. So after Taylor retires from the fire department, he can't sleep at nights. And the movie creates sci-fi fiery demons who haunt him at night. This, of course, puts a strain on his marriage. I believe what is very informative is that this movie has Taylor going to a psychiatrist to discover that he has low thyroid, which explains his fatigue and depression. And if you look up low thyroid, one of the symptoms for some people is vivid dreams, hearing voices even. Which brings up the question, how many alleged prophets and seers throughout history were nothing more than cases of low blood sugar or low thyroid or lithium or potassium deficiencies? Now, this is not to discredit true biblical prophets, but Jesus did say many false prophets will arise, Matthew 24:11. And the Apostle John wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There will be no shortage of false teachers and false prophets. So what some might consider a prophecy may be nothing more than the effects of a physiological disorder. Every dream or every thought you have is not a prophecy of the Lord. In fact, the default attitude we should have is that dreams and thoughts are coming from us, not from the Lord. I had a fellow visit my church a number of years ago, and he said that we would have 7 first-time visitors in the morning service because he kept seeing the number 7 going through his head. Well, we didn't have 7 first-time visitors that morning, and so we took him outside and we stoned him as a false prophet. I'm only kidding. But this is what happens when a new Christian is raised in a church environment that teaches Christians to look for signs and unusual circumstances and words from the Lord. These Christians, or religious people in general, take their normal thoughts and begin to think that they're prophets. A great text to address this error is Ezekiel chapter 13. "Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord." In other words, listen to the scripture, not to your own head. Verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing." People can easily mistake their own opinions, their own impressions, their own musings for the Spirit of God. I had a professor once tell a class this great piece of wisdom: if Satan can't freeze you out, he'll set your tail on fire. Meaning, if Satan can't destroy you and the church by making you cold to the things of God, he will destroy you by making you think that you're a prophet with supernatural power and insight. And there's a whole branch of Christianity that has fallen into this trap. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 tells us not to despise prophetic utterances. So we need to be very careful in this criticism. But the next verse goes on to say, "Examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good." And if you examine most so-called prophecies, most are simply Ezekiel 13, people following their own spirit. It's not that I don't believe in New Testament miracles and prophecy, but I have such a respect and faith in them that they need to be real signs and miracles, not these cheap, tawdry religious tricks. I mean, if you're going to prophesy that Trump is going to be the president of the United States, prophesy this back in the 1990s, not in 2011, when Donald Trump was on television every night campaigning to be president. Donald Trump has floated the possibility of being a candidate in 1999, in 2003, in 2011, and 2016. And there's always been certain people drawn to Trump's personality. Many supporters predicted that he would someday be president. Just like supporters of other candidates have had wishful thinking that their candidate will be president. But if you're a Christian in the Word of Faith movement, there is a strong temptation to think your political wishful thinking is a word from God. And in those circles, if you get it right, which there is always a statistical probability of getting it right, then you're considered a prophet. The movie even goes on to show Mark Taylor in his lethargy, staying at home all day long, sitting in front of the television set, watching all of the political shows. So, of course, he's going to be dreaming about politics all night long. Well, my point is this. Let's not despise prophetic utterances, but let's have so much respect for the power of God that they have to be true signs with true theological integrity. Well, it's during this time of PTSD due to low thyroid that Mark Taylor begins to have dreams about the Trump presidency. And he writes down all of the words that come to him in a journal. And here's the Trump prophecy. The Spirit of God says, I have chosen this man, Donald Trump, for such a time as this. For as Benjamin Netanyahu is to Israel, so this man shall be to the United States of America. For I will use this man to bring honor and respect and restoration to America. Now the movie stops quoting this prophecy at this point. But the rest of the prophecy from Mark Taylor is very telling. It continues, America will be respected once again as the most powerful and prosperous nation on earth, other than Israel. The dollar will be the strongest it has ever been in the history of the United States, and will once again be the currency by which all others are judged. The Spirit of God says the enemy will quake and shake and fear this man I have anointed. They will even quake and shake when he announces he is running for president. It will be like the shot heard across the world. The enemy will say, what shall we do now? This man knows our tricks and schemes. We have been robbing America for decades. What shall we do to stop this? The Spirit says, ha, no one shall stop this that I have started. For the enemy has stolen from America for decades, and it stops now. For I will use this man to reap the harvest that the United States has sown for, and plunder from the enemy what he has stolen and return it sevenfold back to the United States. The enemy will say, Israel, Israel, what about Israel? For Israel will be protected by America once again. The Spirit says, yes, America will once again stand hand in hand with Israel, and the two shall be one. For the ties between Israel and America will be stronger than ever, and Israel will flourish like never before. The Spirit of God says, I will protect America and Israel. For this next president will be a man of his word. When he speaks, the world will listen and know that there is something greater in him than in all others before him. This man's word is his bond. And the world in America will know this, and the enemy will fear this. For this man will be fearless. The Spirit says, when the financial harvest begins, so shall it parallel in the spiritual for America. Spirit of God says in the next election, they will spend billions to keep this current president in. It'll be like flushing their money down the toilet. Let them waste their money, for it comes from and it's being used by the evil forces at work. But they will not succeed, for this next election will be a clean sweep for the man I have chosen. They will say things about this man, but it will not affect him. And they shall say it rolls off of him like the duck. For as the feathers of a duck protect it, so my feathers will protect this next president. Even mainstream news media will be captivated by this man and the abilities I have gifted him with. And they will even begin to agree with him, says the Spirit of God. And that is the Trump prophecy. And my first impression was that I didn't know that the Spirit of God used popular phrases like mainstream news media or water off of a duck's back or flushing down the toilet or a shot heard around the world, which is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I didn't know God was so concerned with the strength of the U.S. dollar. What concerns me about this prophecy is that it contains many of the elements of the Old Testament false prophets. A promise of success to a sinful nation, blind nationalism, wishful, positive thinking couched in religious jargon and the use of popular political ideology. It's really helpful for one's spiritual understanding of the signs of the time to do a study in the false prophets in 600 BC Israel. The false prophets that Ezekiel and Jeremiah had to contend with before the judgment of God fell upon Israel. All of the false prophets were giving a positive message of coming national success, that God would bless Israel, that King Zedekiah would restore the nation. They prophesied peace and prosperity. Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. Jeremiah 14:13, but ah, Lord God, I said, look at the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. In Jeremiah 23:17, they keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. As for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you. America has become so morally depraved, we kill children in abortion in the same way Israel performed child sacrifice before God's judgment fell upon her. So given the positive message of the false prophets that Israel would be great again, it's really hard to hear someone today claiming to be a prophet of the Lord saying that America will be made great and prosperous. I've even read online that many of those in the charismatic Word of Faith movement are critical of Mark Taylor's prophecy, because even they see that the God will bless America message is very typical of the false prophets, saying to a wicked nation that they would be blessed. So as I'm watching this movie, I'm asking myself, what is this movie trying to communicate? Well, certainly that Donald Trump is in office because of the providence of God. And that's a good message. But Barack Obama was also in office by the providence of God. And nobody could stop Barack Obama because God ordained him to office. And look at how Barack Obama helped God's program. All of the punishment he brought down upon Middle Eastern Muslims in the name of helping the Muslims. All of America's presidents have been ordained by God for our good and God's glory. To protect God's people, to further evangelism, to punish the wicked, even though they do not intend to do so. As in Isaiah chapter 10, the king of Assyria and Assyria was used of God to chasten Israel, even though, quote, it does not intend, nor does it plan in its heart. So that's an important point, that Donald Trump is ordained of God. The powers that be are established by God. But if there's any error in the movie, it's this assumption that Donald Trump is in office to bring a worldly blessing to America, to make America wealthy and prosperous. Now, certainly every politician in some way or another is there to bless the church. Even by their bad example and their foolish decisions, they help the cause of Christ. But let's not assume Donald Trump is in office to bless a worldly America. As the Taylor prophecy claims, to reap a harvest for the United States and to plunder from the enemy what has been stolen and return it sevenfold back to the United States. When God ordained Jehu to be king of northern Israel to punish the house of Omri, to judge Ahab and Jezebel, Jehu did punish all of the career political administrators in the house of Ahab and Jezebel. He punished the priests of Baal. And for a period of time, Jehu brought about some military and financial successes for northern Israel. The minority of true Jehovah worshipers in northern Israel were thrilled with Jehu, but it was short-lived, because soon northern Israel went further and further into apostasy and decline under Jehu. Jehu wasn't really sent to bless northern Israel as a nation. He was sent to be the first installment of judgment. The record of Trump's presidency is not in yet. So let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the tax cuts are great, but America is still living on borrowed money. We borrow $1 trillion a year. The debt bomb is eventually going to explode. And yes, times are economically prosperous, just like times were prosperous for Israel before her fall. Rather than seeing this as divine economic blessing, maybe we should see this as the peace before the storm. Or rather, the way in which God often allows the wicked to prosper right before judgment. So that in their fall, great will be the fall. The basic error I see in this Trump euphoria is the viewing of Donald Trump as being America's deliverer, when it's really more likely that Trump is just a product of the culture. He is someone to thwart, stir up, and anger the radical left for some future retaliation on their part. He is someone to allow Christians to enact their policy initiatives so that America could see what she could have had. He is someone to prosper the wicked, to fatten them up before the slaughter. Some have compared Trump to Cyrus, because Cyrus was the pagan king who made the decree for Israel to return from exile. Isaiah 44:28, it is I who say of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all of my desires. But let's not forget that Cyrus was a wicked man. God raised up Cyrus like God raised up the Pharaoh in the Exodus, like God raised up Herod. These people are merely tools in God's hand. Now, the movie concludes with a half hour of interviews with various Christian religious and political leaders, all of whom quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 incessantly. If my people who call by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And the wrong conclusion that is always drawn from this verse is that if the minority of Christians in America pray and repent, we can save our nation. Now, we ought to pray, but that's not the promise in this verse. The reference to, if my people who are called by my name, is a title for all of Israel. There must be complete national repentance for God to save any nation. And I believe the verse that really applies to America's situation right now is Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. As for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up a cry of prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you. Do you not see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Now, it's not that God is telling Jeremiah not to pray for these people's personal salvation, but don't pray for the blessing and continuance of the Israeli nation. And another similar text that applies is Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 20, where God specifically refutes the misinterpretation of 2 Chronicles 7:14, that a minority of Christians can save a nation by their prayers. Ezekiel 14:20, even though Noah and Daniel and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would only deliver themselves by their righteousness. Unless there is complete national repentance, the prayers of the Christians will not save this institution called America. Well, this is all I have time for. Check out the extended YouTube version of this program at my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website to get the links and to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. May God richly bless you as you continue to apply His word to this age and to this people. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for our president, as for all presidents, for you have ordained him to accomplish your will on earth. We pray that in your time and in your way, you would exalt the righteous and bring down the wicked. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.